Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. It's good to be back again after a little break of a holiday. It's lovely to see you all again and to be with you this morning. If you've not yet picked up one of the little communion cups, if you're intending to stay in your pews for communion today, just take a moment now to go back and get one of those. If you're coming to the table, there'll be both a choice of grape juice and wine from the table up here. Diane and I will be serving during the Lord's service, during the Lord's Supper. And if you'd come up the front, starting from the front of the pews to the back, and going to the left, to your right, and walk and kneeling or standing across this way here, and we'll give that to you. But you can stay in your pews if you wish, or come to the table. There it is. I wonder where I got to. Well, good morning once again, and welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and encouraged in the Lord. A special welcome to our young people who may be with us today and as they go off to a little later to kids' church. And we're very grateful for those who are preparing and leading that little time together, hoping the kids come along and prepared accordingly. Thank you for your faithfulness. For those listening in online today visiting us today in our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome to you who are listening in. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and all backgrounds, aren't we? We've come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way according to the Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Involved in the service today is Rosemary, who will read the Bible to us from Psalm 116, and Diane's going to be leading us in prayer this morning. On the keyboards, Adele, and Rosemary and I will be helping us and leading us in singing this morning. The service, as I mentioned earlier on, is a service of the Lord's Supper, and it's a serious service where we all times we meet together is important, but this is a little service that we don't do too often, but whenever we do, we remember God's great love for us and the love we ought to have for one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. So if you love the Lord Jesus and are in fellowship with your brothers and sisters here, please come to the table. Please remember and give thanks to God for his great love towards us in Christ Jesus. This morning I'm doing a one-off sermon. It's a sermon that's based on the value of prayer and why God uses prayer to help us to trust him more and more. It's not an exhaustive prayer on psalm, a sermon on prayer. We'd be here forever doing that. But it's a particular psalm of 116 of a psalmist who was in a situation and what we can learn about God from his prayer. Our mission focus for June this month has been on the work of Anglicare prison chaplains, and we've prayed for them, and also just on the ministry that we do locally here in our area that's here, through playgroup, scripture in schools, to the kindergarten that meets during the week, to our various Bible study groups, people that we may meet up with during the week, just our own connections as a church family with the community around about us. We've been praying specifically for that this month, and I hope you have too. And our friends or our family and our neighbours who know the Lord and those who don't know the Lord, praying for them. The sentence of scripture for today that we go away remembering and thinking of and hopefully ties in with everything that we've heard and done today comes from Galatians 6 verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let me pray. A sentence of scripture from Revelation. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Please stand and let us sing our first song, We Declare.
Church until the day when he
Church, the Lord be with you, and also with you. If you don't know the person, introduce your name, say hello, welcome. Please take a seat. I'm just going to pray for our young people as they go out to church, and our service, and our young people's leaders as well too. For Kids Church. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for young people, people who love the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the faithfulness of their parent or parents who are teaching them about the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those who are preparing the lessons this week and teaching whatever children come our way today. We pray for them today as they go out and listen into your word. Encourage them to persevere, to continue to grow as children into young adults who love the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is compassionate. The Lord is gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word reminds us that he calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But we fail to honor God as we should, and to respond to his love for us. So recognizing our guilt, and trusting in God's mercy and grace as we come together, let's confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbour and to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father God, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly on to the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Bible reading that we prayed for just then this morning is from Psalm 116. Please open your Bibles to page 608 or follow along on the screen or in the handout that's given in your news and notes as you walked in. And Rosemary, have you got a voice? We'll see how we go.
I think it's just my singing voice. Before we start, let's pray. Faithful God, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firm onto the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's reading, as Trevor said, is from Psalm 116, can be found on page 608 in your pew Bibles, or you can follow on the from the news and notes or on the screen. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, in response to God's word read to us, let's affirm what Christians across the ages are confident in the God of who has been spoken, who has spoken. Let's stand and say together the Nicene Creed together. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated And open up your Bibles to Psalm 116, or to the little leaflet that's inside your news and notes, and follow along in Psalm 116. I'll give you a moment just to turn to those as I too just prepare myself here. It's educational, we learn something. It's educational how we learn of God from the passing of time. Why patience and vigilance prove to be virtues, and faith, the desired wisdom. For God actually uses the passing of time, if you've noticed this, to the fulfilling of his will. And it's patience and it's vigilance that allows us to see his will unfold through the years and over time. And faith in God over that time, that we learn of the wisdom of God. From the very early days in my life, choosing to live life God's way, I had people who discipled me, and one of the very important things that they mentioned to me right from the very start was to actually write down, journal, what you pray about or what you talk to God about. And I found it a really helpful practice. I must admit, I don't do that for every prayer and every conversation that I have these days, but in those very early days as a Christian, it was really helpful just to write down what I talk to God about, what I pray to God about. It's a practice that I actually encourage you to do if you've not started or done it, or just thought, this is a really important prayer that I'm talking to God about. I want to write it down. And the reason why we encourage that, and it's actually done in Bible studies, and I don't know the Bible studies in our group, I'm pretty sure we do this. Maybe just write down the prayers that you've prayed in the time that you've met together. But it's really the purpose of it being is that it helps us to see that God actually answers our prayers over time. Because if you're like me, we so easily forget, don't we? The moment we've prayed, we easily forget what we've actually prayed about. And we also forget that he listens to us when we pray. But we so easily forget that too. What we've prayed about, and that God actually listens when we pray. The proof of how serious about prayer we may be is not only seen in our earnestness in how we pray, but how vigilant and patient we are with God in the answering of those prayers, in checking daily on God's answer, whatever that might be, yes, no, maybe, not yet, whatever, over time. Someone once said, if Christians checked in on what they have prayed about as often as they check their phones for messages or their emails or their letterbox, we might not be so doubting about the value of prayer and the persevering in our relationship with God. For me, and I gather if it's for you too, well, I hope so, that prayer, conversation with God, is wonderfully special for you. An awesome privilege and an assurance to do. For God, unlike so often us, does not merely hear our prayers or our conversation, but he turns his ear to his children. Or in the word in the Hebrew is he listens. He actually listens. There's a difference, isn't there, between hearing and listening, isn't there? Hearing is just being aware of a noise that comes in the form of words. But listening is actually hearing those words and then also wanting to understand the expression of interest, the feeling, the purpose behind the words. It actually proves that we have a genuine interest in the others if we listen, isn't it? It's different to hearing. For those who we know in our lives who truly listen to us, we value their relationship, don't we? Because they're genuinely interested in us. We can tell if someone's listening or if they're merely hearing. God turned his ears to the psalmist when he prayed. God turns his ears to his servants when they pray. The reason why the psalmist actually prayed was because he loved the Lord. Look there at verse 1 there, in there. The Lord turns his ear to me. He listens when we pray. It's what he loved about the Lord, and it's what I gather we love about him too. It's the reason why this psalmist and many psalmists writes this prayer. I'll read the verses out again. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because the words there, he turned his ear to me, is he listened to me. And so I will call on him as long as I live. We don't know who the psalmist is. His name is not mentioned in the psalm. But his psalm, his journaling of his thoughts, tell us why he prayed, why he called upon the Lord, on the name of the Lord. And that over the passing of time, what he learnt of God, and why patience and vigilance proved to be virtues, and faith in God the desired wisdom. Look there at verse 3. Death. The fear of death in particular form bookends to this psalm of this psalmist. It's the fear of death in verses 3 and 4 and the need to be saved from it that begins the psalm and the reason for his prayer. Follow along with me as I read verses 3 and 4. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the Lord. Lord, save me. It's the assurance of being saved through death that gives reason for this psalmist's prayer. Look there now at verses 15 and 16, as the psalm ends as well, the end there in verses 15 and 16. You'll see that the last part of the book ends of it as well. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. So the reason for the purpose for the prayer of the psalmist is death, his fear of death. And it forms a bookend both at the beginning of the psalm and at the end of the psalm. But something has happened in between that has changed him from a fear of death to him actually seeing that death is of a saint, of a Christian, is precious in the sight of God. Some commentators actually use this as have described this psalm as the psalm of the martyr. But what's important here in this psalm is that something changes in the psalmist as he prays and as time has gone by over time. What is it that's caused the change? It's what he's learnt about God and about himself and others. And his response to what he's learnt about God and of himself and of others in the world. Prayer has been described as for our advantage, not God's. Ever thought it that way? It's like most of us sometimes we think of prayer being something that God wants. God won't know if we don't pray. But prayer, and some people might think, well, why pray if God knows all things? He knows what I'm going through. His will's unfolding. Why pray? Because prayer is a purpose of bringing us into conversation with God and into trust with God through that time. And as we do, we learn of God and we learn of his character and why we can keep on trusting him into the future and persevering. There is an obvious change of thought in this psalmist, journaling in his prayer, in his life, towards death or the fear of death over time. What brought about that change? I want us to go away thinking the two things in particular, what he learned about God and what he learned about himself. Firstly, what did he learn about God? Look there at verses 8 and 9. I trusted in the Lord, for you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And in verses 5 and 6, look back there, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. As I was preparing this, I was thinking it's unusual that the word unwary and mercy should be used in verse 1 there and verse 6. The word mercy means undeserved favour. It's something that God actually gives that we don't deserve, which suggests for me that whatever the psalmist caused him to have this fear or to be in a situation of death was something that maybe he brought about himself or through his being unaware found himself in this situation of which he was entangled by death and by the cords of death and the fear of the grave brought upon anguish upon him and he was overcome by it. Actually, this psalm is quoted by Jonah while he is actually in the belly of the whale. This psalm is interesting. So first thing here is he learns about God is that God is gracious. God is merciful. God will do and give what is undeserving to his children. And he will do what is right always by his children. Why? Because he is full of compassion and he has promised to protect, not take out or take away or remove us from situations. That would make our Lord a liar. For Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And the Apostle Paul said, anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted, will have a difficult life. The life of the Christian, your life, my life, is a difficult and troublesome life. But he protects, he sees us through, he saves through all of this. The psalmist learns of the goodness of God. Verse 7, he has been good to me, he has been good to you. For the Lord had delivered him from death, from the eyes, from my eyes, from tears, from my feet, from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The second thing he learns is that he learns about himself. Look there at verse 10. I trusted in the Lord. How easy it is. I trusted the Lord when he's going through this difficulty. How easy it is, and when we're in difficulties, to pray, isn't it? There's never an atheist in a foxhole. There's never a time where, when we're in difficulty, where people don't pray. And I think it's true too. I often have a number of little situations where it's sadly, but it's the name that it's used often when things are difficult in a swearing way, Jesus. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. He realized that he could not find anyone to tell him the truth. He realized that if I look to others and try to find deliverance from this fear, they're all liars. They're not telling the truth. It's not the way to be able to find relief or rest for his soul. But he trusted in the Lord. He returned to the Word of God, and he trusted in the Lord when he was greatly afflicted. In response to all of this, what does he say? What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. This puzzled me, this little phrase, the cup of salvation, as I was preparing. And it's the picture here is of holding up, the wording of holding up a cup and calling upon God to fill it. That's sort of a visual imagery. Calling upon the Lord, I draw upon you to fill my cup with the knowledge of your salvation, with the knowledge of your goodness towards me, the psalmist is praying. Or it could be taken and equally as well as a cheers. You know, when you have a meal and you honour someone and you lift up the cup and you honour the one who provides salvation. I lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The phrase call on the name of the Lord is one that says, as we would use at the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name I pray, or in Jesus' name we pray. Call upon is to draw on this help and strength of God's will and purpose being done. So he continues, he gives thanks and praise, but also he realizes that what he's learnt about God through the situation that he's gone through, of his fear of death, and at the end he no longer sees it as a fear but a blessing that death is. What's the response? He says, basically, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. I will do what God requires of me while I hear and live and walk in the way of the living, knowing who God is and what he has done for us, despite what we go through and what we see and experience, I will continue to persevere in what pleases the Lord. And I'll do this not only in private, but in the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that they too may be encouraged. And later at the end of the psalm, he says, in all of Jerusalem, in other words, all of the world in that place, I will be a light in the nations, a light to that place there. You may fear death. Death may be something that you know now. You may have had a diagnosis that you are dying, or that you're afraid of that, or you know that you're close to it. We'd never know when the Lord calls us to be with him. And it can overwhelm us. And we can feel just like the psalmist here. And the fear can cripple us. We want to stay in the world. We want to be with our families. We want to be with our friends. Life's good. And the fear overwhelms us. The cords entangle us. And we overcome with distress and sorrow. We turn to the Word of God. We there look for the truth, not to into ourselves or to others, or to the philosophies and the ways of the world of what they ask and tell us. We turn to the Word of God, and we hear the words of our own Lord Jesus as he goes to his own death, even though he prayed, Lord, take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He prays, and he tells his disciples in the very last words that he says to them before he goes to the cross himself, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to the place where I am going, Jesus said. Thomas put up his hand and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Love, Thomas. So how can we know the way? And Jesus said to Thomas, and Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's through the cross. That's the preparation. It's the preparation of the cross of Christ that takes away our fear. It's what we learn of God from his word of the cross and of what Jesus has done for us and who he is that causes us to persevere. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? It's a good question to ask us, isn't it, each one of us? What shall I return? What can we return other than to trust him? To see the wisdom of learning of God through our difficult times, of trusting him and persevering. To allow those who love you, the brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage you when you doubt and to persevere through those times and to be there. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you that you listen when we pray. That conversation with you is a privilege and a wonderful and awesome thing. Forgive us when we doubt, when the fear of death and death itself are like cords that entangle us, that fill us with anguish, that overcome us with distress and sorrow. Lord, we draw near to you and your word. We remember the promise that you've made to us through Jesus and in Christ. Lord, we thank you for what we learn of you through the years, how over time you fulfill your will for us. You answer our prayers in a way that is good for us and brings glory to you. To know that death is a blessed thing for the Christian. It is a thing that the Lord looks forward to taking us home to be with him forever. Oh Lord, we're spared now the time to live until that day that we may enjoy walking before you, Lord, in the land of the living, that all may see the hope that we have and that we're able to give a defense for that hope. It's Jesus. It's the cross. It's the hope of his resurrection and the resurrection for ourselves and the life eternal and the home we have. Oh, Father, you've brought us together today to be encouraged. It's the reason why we meet together to pray and to encourage one another as we wait for that day when we're taken home. Lord, may our conversations today over morning tea and in the week ahead and always when we meet together in the midst of little conversations about life, may they also turn to the opportunities to be able to speak of your goodness to us in saving us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing a hymn. And our older folk here today will know this one, Lord for the Years. Hands up if you remember this one. Lord for the Years. Your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided, Lord of the Years, we bring our thanks today. continue into a time of prayer. Must be a bit contagious, Rosemary. My voice is starting to go too a little bit. Out of practice, possibly. Let me pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we now offer to you. Let us pray that God will help us to love one another. Lord, our help and guide, make your love the foundation of our lives. May our love for you express itself in our eagerness to do good for others. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Diane's going to come up now and continue in our time of prayer. Thanks, Diane.
Almighty and compassionate God, we pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, danger, and persecution. Keep your people safe from harm and help them share the gospel with those around them to help restore hope in their lives. I'll ask you to consider for a few moments those issues in our world that you find particularly upsetting and offer your heartfelt grief to God and to seek his comfort. Father, strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your Spirit that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer our prayers for those who lead all the peoples of the world and their leaders. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land, and give to all people a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good, and to share with justice the resources of the earth. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give thanks for one another and all those who care for us in our community. We commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and one another. Remember, Lord, all who you have called to minister to those in prison. May their presence and words be welcomed and received by those who may feel they are beyond forgiveness, who have lost all hope of changing and feel abandoned by the world. Grant prison chaplains the grace to safely walk alongside them and their families in the long journey of separation and hopeful return to society. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Comfort and heal, merciful Lord, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who minister to them, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you, Lord God, for your faithful servants in every age, and ask that we may share with them Christ's resurrection glory through his death and rising again for our salvation. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
We come to that time now where we take this small meal together in the token of the bread and the wine together in the Lord's Supper. And whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So we need to examine ourselves and only then eat the bread and drink from the cup. At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him. And as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ, The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again, as we do, with God's love for the unworthy and are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and a genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of sharing in this way. If in good conscience it would not be right for you to participate, please use this time to reflect on God's love for us in Christ, on God's love for you in Christ. But knowing the goodness of God and the times we fail to respond with love and obedience, let us confess our sins together. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table, but you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand, would you? This is a significant moment in the Lord's Supper. We're actually reminding each other of who we are. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Please be seated. Oh, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat. Come, let us drink in remembrance that Christ died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving today. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you came in this morning for church, you would have received a bulletin, and inside that bulletin there's a number of announcements that are in that there. And chiefly, one of the important announcements is that if you can remain after church for a very brief moment of time while we just have a general meeting, I guarantee it should only go for about 5 or 6 minutes at that time. But we must do this little meeting in order to elect a synod representative for this next couple of years ahead of us. But just as a way of announcement too, next week, men, if you're planning to come, it's Lawn Bowls next Saturday. It's on between 10 and 12. The place is booked. We're ready to go. And if you've not put your name on the list, please do so at the end of church today. Men, I'll let you know during the week by a text message what we'll be doing in terms of transport, getting over there. But most likely what will happen is that we'll meet here first, like we did last time, and go in cars and carpool to the place that's there. Looking forward to the day. Next Sunday, after church, we will have an emergency evacuation drill. All right? Come prepared. And so what that means, simply I'll explain next Sunday in detail, but it's a mandatory thing that we should do every year just to remind ourselves of what happens if I have to say, let's leave the building now, right? And so we do that in a way. My previous church used to actually compete with the congregations, 8:30 and 10 o'clock, to see who'd get out the quickest. And they got a deduction for every point they left something behind. Or they took something with them, you know, that they should have left behind at that time. But we won't need to do that today. That's next Sunday. Thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond to support the work of the gospel in this place and beyond. Thank you for that ministry that you do. We're coming to that time of the year, with the end of the financial year, where we can actually rethink that through as we plan the heads in the year ahead. And so thank you for giving towards ministry in this place. And can I encourage you, if you're able to give a bit more, please to think about that and to give accordingly. But we trust that's between you and God. After church today, you're welcome to come up the front and pray. Can't remember who's actually on today, but could they remind me who is? Because I haven't got my bulletin in front of me. Fiona and Jeff. Thanks, Fiona and Jeff. If you like a prayer after service today, for whatever it might be, Jeff and Fiona will be happy to pray for you. Morning tea's after church, as always. Please grab your morning tea and move out into the lovely sunshine in the playground. If you wish to stay inside, just keep that space there. That's be COVID safe. Before we go out for morning tea, please stand and let's sing our final song together. And remember that after singing this song together, we'll just stay briefly in this time together if you're able to do so, please. If you're a regular member here, thank you.
Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Stay for a little while and then go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated.